Welcome to the Killing It in Real Estate podcast.
We're interviewing the heavy hitters, the game changers,
the people who are leaving their mark on the world.
They're not just building bigger businesses, they're creating better lives.
They're not only dominating their industry, they're killing it.
And we're going to show you how to do the same. Thanks for tuning in for the third episode of Killing It in Real Estate. I'm Allie.
And I'm Josh. And today we have Ryan. He's a great friend of ours. His name is Ryan Hodge. We met him about a year ago and we imported him. We imported him from Canada for a visit with our agents, and he shared a ton of really practical tips about Facebook, which is really how he built his business. But as we got to know him, we realized he knows so much to share about things like mindset, time management, energy, and productivity, things that a lot of agents really struggle with. So, you know, we had to get him on the show talking about it.
And I love the way he pronounces out. 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 As the Canadians say it, out.
Oh my goodness.
But anyways, I love this podcast because I think it's really going to speak to everyone. This one's not just for real estate agents, but really just anyone who wants to live for a greater purpose, who has a greater calling on their life. But he just gives us some really simple tips that we can all put into place right away. One that really got me was the idea of not falling asleep with my cell phone in my hand.
Oh, that sounds practical and tactical. So whether you're in real estate or you're a small business owner or maybe you even a student or a stay-at-home mom, I think you're going to get a ton from this episode with Ryan. So we hope you enjoy.
All right. Today's guest, he's a real estate legend. He started out strong. He sold over 100 houses just in his first year in business, but then he went on to build an empire. Now he's the co-owner of the realty firm in Ontario, Canada. But even after his success in real estate, he felt that something was missing, which is what we want to talk about today. It led him to write his best-selling book, The Integrity Vow. And now he spends his time coaching and consulting other agents and entrepreneurs, helping them find their purpose and building their wealth and leading more meaningful lives. It's such an honor to have him on the show today. Please welcome Ryan Hodge.
Well, it's an absolute honor to be here. And I always like seeing your smiling face and the energy. So let's have some fun.
All right. Give us your backstory. How did you get started in real estate? What'd you do before?
Sure. So I was actually born and raised in London, Ontario, which is 90 minutes in between Toronto, Canada, and Detroit. And I went to high school here, university here. I got a degree in sociology and psychology with an emphasis on human behavior. In that time period, I also started working in our family business, which was jewelry manufacturing and corporate insignia. And so I did that for about 10 years. And just, you know, the nature of a family business dynamic led me to want to do something. Real estate was what I chose. And so 2008 was my first full year, or sorry, my first year. 2009 was my first full year where I was actually selling, you know, full time. Was fortunate to sell over 100 homes. And that led me to doing some, you know, speaking inside of the RE/MAX organization, which is where I started.
Okay.
Scaled a large real estate team, the largest in my market at one point. Different hybrids of that team, you know, positives, negatives, a little bit of chaos in my life, you know, through that process. And ultimately, it led myself and a former business partner to start our own independent, which is called the Realty Firm up here. We've grown to close to 100 members, which we're really proud of. We're of what I would consider as a small to mid-sized market. We've got 1,800 agents in our markets. And back in March of last year, 2018, I bought the company outright, and away we go.
Awesome. Yeah. So that's a good big picture. Let's go back to the beginning because we've got a lot of like new agents that are going to be listening to this, and 100 deals or more than 100. I heard you the other day. It was like 117 or something.
Some say 114. Some say 117.
114. Okay. Yeah. I think close.
I think I've got it tracked as 117 transactions. Those were, you know, residential resale. I wasn't working in new construction. I did have a full-time buyer agent that I brought on, you know, through the year. So she was, you know, really, really impactful in terms of, you know, helping me grow, scale, and leverage, you know, very quickly. But ups and downs through all of it, you know, it's a unique story. You know, I get it. Not too many people sell that much in their first year. I think that, you know, part of that was my own mindset as far as what I wanted to do in short order. A little bit of probably seeking validation too from others that thought that I may fail, you know, a pretty cushy family dynamic job. But, you know, all in all, it's worked out
Worked out.
Worked out very, very well.
So, okay. So I really want to focus on mindset stuff with you. But before we get there, what kind of like tactical tips would you give to people that are brand new and 100 sounds like a ton for them? I know Facebook is something that you've taught us a lot about. What else did you do that first year and do you continue to do?
Sure. So I'll break down my 117. You know, it's a pretty common question that I get as far as how to sell that much in your first year. 34 of them came through those free organic Facebook strategies. And that's what I shared when I was at your wonderful organization. 27 came through my sphere circle of influence. So I was, you know, applying some work by referral programs. I think that that truly is the bread and butter of our business. And it works very, very well with the Facebook strategies. I also started using some landing pages, websites, applying, you know, specific scripts and conversion tactics to generate 22 online leads. I started a small geographical farm area, which I then scaled. So sending, you know, direct mail marketing or direct response marketing into an area which I, you know, began to dominate over a certain period of time. And then the traditional stuff, you know, open houses, door knocking, cold calling, for sale by owners, you know, all the stuff that we come to learn that we need to do some of if we're going to get busy inside of real estate quickly.
Yeah. So you just grinded it out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what was your mindset like that year?
Oh, busy, busy, busy. You know, I think that there's the element of growth, but there's also the element of growing with a proper foundation. And I think that, you know, that is something that I really recognized in many points of my career, not just the initial stages, but, you know, I've identified what I call four pillars of productivity. So the first is what we reference as front end foundation. Okay. You know, there's, you know, your business planning and, you know, determining what it is that you want to do to create, you know, a sustainable real estate business that avoids the peaks and valleys that we tend to experience. But that foundation is critical in terms of being able to move to phase two or pillar number two, which I call predictable business cultivation. Okay. And predictable business cultivation is really, you know, reverse engineering different forms of lead generation, right? Lead can be, you know, referenced as a word that seems a little bit cold or, you know, very sales-like.
Right, right.
Lead is just whatever comes first. You know, it's who's first to the table. So whether it's somebody in your database or whether it's somebody from an open house or, you know, an online lead, you know, all of it is a form of lead generation. And I hear people all the time, don't buy leads, right? Well, you're either buying a lead with money or you're buying a lead with time and energy, right? So you get to determine what that is for you.
So true.
So the predictable business cultivation is one that if you can define what your activity level is, which is really a commitment, you know, a goal is nice in theory, that is our intention, but commitment means we're implementing and executing and taking a specific amount of action, right? And so when we look at that level of action, that's where the rubber kind of hits the road as far as am I just trying or am I actually committed and doing the work? That then allows us to create pillar number three to productivity, which is back-end systems and processes, which I know your organization just thrives on and knows so much about. I mean, I'm always amazed when I get to visit a company like yours and see just what you put into the back-end foundation of a company.
Yeah.
Allow your members to thrive, which ultimately leads to pillar number four. So that is assessing, scaling, and leveraging your real estate business. Most agents never make it past pillar number one, right? Because the foundation just isn't there. And the mindset, along with, you know, what we map out as far as planning and, you know, looking at our foundation, really comes into a lot of the personal aspects like confidence, you know, what our beliefs are, our limited beliefs are, you know, why we're doing the things that we do, why we're not doing the things that we do that we know we need to do in order to experience that happiness, freedom, and results-based productivity that we both desire and deserve. So there's different elements to it, but that core foundation is critical. And I've seen it where I got the foundation right in certain elements of my business, but then something was lacking in perhaps a team dynamic. Or when I, you know, took over and bought my real estate company outright, what parts of that foundation needed to be, you know, repaired or to be worked on at least in order to really thrive.
That's good. I love what you say about the difference in a goal and a commitment, because goals can just kind of sound lofty and out of touch, but commitments are so specific. Like we, when we coach our agents here, we encourage them to set 3 commitments a week, and we say that they should be specific, actionable, and measurable.
Yes.
So at the end of the week, you say, this is what I want to have done, and this is how I'm going to get there. And it really makes it less overwhelming.
Totally.
Because you're breaking down the steps. I love that.
Well, it allows for you to really examine, you know, whether or not somebody is committed, or whether or not they're committed, but they're just needing some different guidance, right? Because let's say, for example, you had a person that was cold calling. You know, that was the way that they wanted to generate business. And they committed to doing 25 cold calls per day, 5 days a week. You know, many times people won't do that work because they start doing it, they don't get the results that they desire, they just quit, right? But sometimes people will give me, you know, even in my company or, you know, one of my coaching clients, they'll give me 30 days of it straight. They're doing the work, they're not getting a result. So that's where we can actually hone in on, you know, what is your messaging? What is it that you're saying? Are you not, you know, closing? Are you not doing trial closing? You know, things like that that you can actually predictably measure, you know, where somebody needs to improve.
Yeah, you're kind of honing in on what you need. If you're making 25 calls a day and not getting anywhere, you might need to practice some scripts or some role play. You might not be closing the deal.
Absolutely.
That's good.
Absolutely.
So back to you, your switch from real estate to author and coach and trainer. So you, I've heard you talk on other podcasts before, and you just described kind of a feeling of like wanting something more and like wanting to find like a new avenue to give back and to help people. So walk us through like that transition that you had, and what would you say to someone that's also kind of in that transition of wanting something more?
Sure. So I have been blessed to, you know, work at a high level in many different areas of my life in terms of business. I would say that I'm what you would call an implementer. So I can take, you know, ideas and put them into place very quickly. And I did that, you know, in my original career. I did it, you know, in sports when I was younger, where I'd excel very quickly, you know, into real estate, into the team, into the brokerage, and so on and so on. What I found was that I hadn't done enough personal work. And I reference it as personal or spiritual development in terms of, you know, you can have success, but it's really just a toxic replacement if you're not really feeling it, you know, at the core of our being.
Yeah.
And so when that happens, sometimes, you know, we can find other elements or experiences that we create that we don't necessarily desire as much. And that is really what my book is about, you know, in terms of a transparent approach to many of the experiences that I've created that, you know, really weren't serving me. And eventually they can actually end up being quite chaotic in our lives if we're not careful. And so when you ask about, you know, how that transitioned back in 2014, you know, I started to take a look at, gosh, this is something that just keeps reoccurring like a pattern. And I began to really recognize that I needed to make some definite changes, but I didn't want that pattern to continue. So, you know, I started working with some different mentors, guides, coaches that kind of opened up this smorgasbord of information for me as far as, you know, personal development and what was really making me tick and, you know, why I was doing the things that I was doing or, you know, feeling a certain way. And it allowed me to, you know, start to really understand myself better and actually live, you know, a much higher version of myself. Not that it's perfect. You know, I don't think that we ever really arrive or get to a certain place. We've got to be constantly examining. But the interesting part was that all of a sudden my coaching clients, you know, started to appear in the same way. You know, people would come into real estate, but because I'm a pretty transparent person, you know, I'll share just about anything and everything. And you know, all my stories of debauchery, success, you know, all the goodies, right? But it allows other people to do the same, you know, whether they're, you know, as severe as some of my stories or, you know, in some cases, you know, far more challenging, you know, than things that I've experienced. We're all on, you know, different journeys. And ultimately what that did was it really started to help me, you know, create a bit of a niche in my own coaching environment. When I took over the brokerage completely, I was able to, you know, kind of start putting some personal development into, you know, the fold of my training and coaching. And it's just allowed for people to grow in a much different way. And, you know, they're all my teachers as well, you know, that allow me to associate with people that, want to do that. And that's really what it's all about. It's a complete path of, contributing to one another.
It's interesting when you're talking about how you were vulnerable with people, and it really encourages other people to do the same. And a lot of times, like, we think as like professionals and as leaders that we do need to kind of keep up that like facade. How did that feel when you started coming out and talking about this deep stuff that you've gone through? What was that? Did that come naturally for you? Is that something you kind of had to work yourself into?
Well, I
just
think
putting yourself out there.
Yeah, I think that, how can I say this responsibly? I mean, most, most major real estate companies, they don't necessarily want the person that, had a drug addiction or wasn't the best things like that on stage conference, right? But ultimately for me, that's not what it's about. The right people always show up, and, the fulfillment that I get from watching somebody that thinks that they need to sell more real estate, realize that they need to, believe in themselves more, work on themselves more, and then just that natural spillover effect to what happens in their real estate career is just, that's the thing for me. It's not about the money. The money just kind of happens. It's really about, you put yourself out there in a vulnerable way, you're going to get something that's far more rewarding, and the results that your clients end up getting, to me, will outweigh any one size fits all real estate training through a company, a coach, a speaker, whatever.
So when you talk about, and it sounds like you did some really intense, like focused personal development, people like that are listening, and I know we all feel like we're the busiest person in the room, it's so easy to make excuses, but when you talk about like personal development and like pouring into yourself and challenging yourself in that way, like real practically, like how much time are people that you're coaching spending on that? How much time do you spend on that? And what are your activities that lead to personal development?
So, a lot of people talk about routine, right? Having a routine or time blocking. I've polled over 5,000 agents. What is the number one thing that gets in the way of the happiness and freedom that you desire and deserve inside of real estate? Number one answer is always time management. Time management, in my opinion, what I learned from one of my guides, is just a myth, right? It's really about choice management. The second answer is usually fear. Fear of failure, but on the flip side of that, fear of success. And so when we look at personal, and really what I reference more, because I do go into a lot more of the spiritual side, spiritual development is something that for me is 2 to 3 hours every day. Now, when we look at spiritual development, personal development, I look at what we call the grand trilogy, the body, the mind being business, and the spirit. So body, mind, and spirit lead to, what do we want to examine? What needs to be examined in order to, grow, or make change? And so for some people, they want to learn how to manage that time. Well, what's truly getting in the way? Is it that you're, a procrastinator? Is it that you're a people pleaser? Is it that you, don't set boundaries with, other people, places, or things? And ultimately, when you examine that, you can start making new choices. If you're coming forward, in a transparent, vulnerable, and authentic manner, right? Those that do that and show up that way tend to get the greatest results. So to get back to your question, how long? It's different for everyone. I mean, the most productive people on the planet, some of them say they spend 5 to 7 hours. That might include a couple workouts and things like that. But again, it's what is that for them, right? Some people, it might be, meditation. Some people might be going for a walk. Some people might be reading a non-business related book. For me, my ideal morning, I'm a 4:30 a.m. wake up. If I can map out, 2.5 to 3 hours of what I reference more as rituals, be some positive listening, meditation, getting very, very clear spiritually, in my relationship with God, a little bit of journaling, and then, something focused on the health side of it, like a workout. My day usually unfolds in a pretty healthy manner.
So I'm just kind of nosy and also just curious on everyone's routines, especially like really successful people. So you mentioned that you're a morning person. You start early. What I know another piece that you're really passionate about is like the health and the fitness side of things. Mm-hmm. And so you mentioned that. Remind me that the trilogy, what the three pieces were.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Body, mind, and spirit. So what do you do on the body side of things? Are you working out every day? How do you eat? What do you eat?
Sure. So that's a really interesting one, because for about 3 to 4 years, I had a very, very dedicated commitment to fitness and nutrition in more of what I would call a bodybuilding mentality. You know what I mean? I had a great coach who's just probably one of the most disciplined people I have, John Cheplak, who you've met.
Yeah, yeah.
Me down that road, and I had just phenomenal results, you know, with some of the stuff that he introduced me to. And interestingly, at the beginning of this year, I started getting some, you know, really unique pains in my hands and feet, and I started having what we call vertigo, which is, you know, dizziness and dizzy things like that. I also started to gain some weight, even though my body hadn't changed. You know, I put on about 15 or 20 pounds, which I'm going, gosh, like I'm eating clean and, you know, I'm working out, maybe not as intensely as I was. But all of a sudden I had to examine that. So I had a couple MRIs and blood work, and the doctors were saying nothing coming up. But ultimately what I realized was that I was adding a little bit of stress, and stress has a really, really unique impact on the body. And so I started working with somebody just recently that's kind of flipping my switch on, you know, what I eat, you know, a little bit more on the nutrient side, on hydration, looking at, you know, how certain things affect my liver and my blood and my skin and things like that. Because with stress, you can get eczema, which, you know, it's not always fun to hit a stage when your face is red.
No.
So stuff like that. And then again, you know, different sorts of workouts. So, you know, I'm not where I was, but I know that I'm headed in the right direction. And for me, you know, that's something to really transfer to anybody that we speak to. There's a great study called the Teachability Index. You can Google it. Hmm. So the Teachability Index is something that you can find online. And what it is it's a measurement of our willingness to think. Number one, it's to learn from the experiences of others. And it's a measurement of how well we implement changes in thought and action. And so what it really references is that, you know, let's say we're in real estate and we want to be in real estate for the long term. We've got to be constantly evolving, adapting, and changing. Why? Because our real estate environment is constantly evolving, adapting, and changing. Mm. And so, you know, despite the fact that I'm not working out in the exact same manner that I really enjoy, or, you know, that consistent, you know, chicken and broccoli bodybuilding mentality. Well, for right now, it just wasn't working as well for me. And so it's a matter of looking at how must I make new choices, learn from the experiences of others, implement different changes in thought and my actions in order to evolve further. Because the healthy fit me is the best version of me.
Yeah.
But when, you know, shit happens, you know, sometimes we've got to take a look at that and just flip our switch a little bit.
So are you, I know you said you're kind of changing. Are you working out in the morning? Do you work out every
absolutely.
Day?
Yeah. I try and get in at least 5 days a week. If I'm, you know, 5 to 6 days a week, great. Every now and then it's 7, every now and then it's 3. It's not perfect.
Okay. But
5 days a week is certainly ideal for, you know, even 60 minutes, 90 minutes is usually more like it.
It sounds to me like you're saying people have to figure out what works for them. And it sounds like you're really intentional about figuring out what works specifically for your body, that there's not something that's clear cut and dry for everyone.
Well, that's just it, right? I mean, and that's where I go back to the fact that we never really arrive anywhere. I mean, I think that that's the biggest challenge with anything, whether it's business or, you know, our physical shape. You know, we can get to a certain place, but more often than not, when we find success in an area, it's usually a time where we are most susceptible to risk in, you know, the same area or other areas.
Ooh, that's good.
So it's kind of like that self-reflection and a kind of constant examination without beating ourselves up, you know, like express, you know, self-love, because a lot of us have that negative self-talk that's really programmed in us from a really young age. but it's looking at, you know, what's working, what's not, where can I get better, or just do a little bit better than I was yesterday. And sometimes we need to examine it and make some you know, massive changes. Sometimes they're just little tweaks, but it's that awareness piece.
That's good. So massive changes. So say someone that's listening to you say that you spend 3 to 4 hours a day developing yourself and working out. What do you say to someone who is a little overwhelmed right now? They're listening to us because they currently aren't spending any time developing themselves. And they're, you know, grabbing their lunch at a drive-through while they're out showing houses. They're not making working out a priority. Like, how do you get into the mindset of starting, and where should this person start? It's hard to go from 0 to 10.
Yeah, I think that somebody can start with a couple very, very basic things, okay? Number one, what do most people do when they wake up in the morning?
They get their phone.
Immediately look at their cell phone, right? Most have their cell phones right beside their heads when they're sleeping, okay? Mm. The amount of blue light and, you know, poor energy that these things transmit, we take that on, right? If you were to leave the phone in your kitchen, for example, overnight, and I'm sure people are getting anxiety just thinking about that.
It's real estate agents.
But watch what that would do to your overall energy.
Yeah.
Thing in the morning. Okay. Ooh. The second thing is to look at, and there's a really, really good example here. What is it that the most agents do the first thing in the morning? They grab a cup of coffee, or they go to their Starbucks, or up here in Canada, we've got, you know, Tim Hortons. Mm-hmm. And that's the first thing that they consume. What if somebody were to look at just consuming 500 milliliters or, you know, a small bottle of water first thing? Most people won't, though. Mm. That's just factual. Most people go for the coffee right away. Uh-huh. So here's the correlation, okay? Number one, the human body is, you know, able to consume 2 ounces of water for every pound that we weigh, which is a ton of water. I mean, I weigh 175, 180 pounds. I'm not drinking 300 ounces of water a day.
Yeah.
But I can certainly consume, you know, a lot more than I do. And I'm aware of that. And I try and keep myself relatively hydrated. Many people don't drink any water, or just when they're just dying of thirst. So here's the correlation. We know that, you know, in order to really, really fuel ourselves, we must hydrate. Take a look at the correlation between, if I cannot hydrate myself because I know I'm going to function well, how can I possibly expect to hydrate and nourish my business?
That's good.
A little bit of truth, right?
Yeah, truth bomb.
if I'm going to allow for my phone to zap my energy, how can I expect that my real estate career is fully energized at all times? But they're just little, simple, tiny rituals or awareness pieces that allow us to step into something different. And again, it doesn't mean that it's going to be perfect. It doesn't mean you're going to drink, you know, 10 gallons of water every day, or you're going to not have your phone on at times. But notice the difference between when you do and when you don't. You know, somebody doesn't necessarily want to jump into, you know, a 90-minute workout right away because it's going to overwhelm them.
Right.
But what about going for a walk for 15 minutes in the morning? Instead of, you know, sad old love songs, what about listening to something positive or motivating or things like that? It's the information that we consume that ultimately, you know, we feed on. I mean, the law of association, which I know that you've recognized, is, you know, we become an average of the 5 people that we surround ourselves with the most, right? That's the same thing with the things that we listen to, the things that, you know, we put in our earbuds, whether it's at the gym or whatever. I mean, what is it that we're consuming, you know, that really is more like an association?
That's good. Those are some really good steps that I think everyone that's listening can implement. I'm so guilty of grabbing my phone when I first wake up, and sometimes even falling asleep with it in my hand. So that's so good. Yeah. Okay. Before I let you go, I want to ask you a question. What would you say are 5 things that you can't live without? A person, a resource, a food item, a drink item.
Okay.
What fuels you?
Hydration, number one. So yes. I cannot live without water. Number two, I cannot function without this wonderful smartphone, right? That is the nature of how we do business in today's day and age. I certainly cannot live without my spiritual development, because if I'm not serving me, there's no way that I'm going to serve, you know, my friends, family, real estate clients, real estate business. And that would lead to, you know, my number four, which are my children. So I've got three boys, ages 13, 11, and 7, all very active up here in Canada. And my, you know, key associations in life, you know, I've got a partner in life right now that, you know, is very, very important to me. And so it's that whole thing, right? You know, the self-serving, allows me to, you know, hydrate all of those areas, and the self-serving starts with the water, you know. So self-serving, spiritual development would be the first two. And then, you know, how I conduct my business, which is a great vehicle to do the things that I want to do with the people that I want to do them with, which, you know, are my family.
That's good. Well, this is just a taste for you guys of Ryan Hodge. Tell us about how we can connect with you as far as your coaching programs, what you offer with your coaching programs, and then talk a little more about your book, The Integrity Vow, and where they can find that.
Sure, sure. So people can connect with me anytime on Facebook. Send me a message. I've got multiple pages, you know, for my coaching company, my real estate company, my book page. They can also always go to www.ryanhodge.com, and that will give them some pretty good insight on group coaching, one-on-one coaching. They can always book a discovery call to kind of identify, you know, where are they at with the four pillars? Are they in that number one, or are they, you know, looking to go from number three to scaling and growing their business? The book, The Integrity Vow, Engaging Your Authentic Self, that can be found on my coaching site, on theintegrityvow.com. I have a book, which is a really, really good approach to that personal or spiritual development. Taking some of my experiences, taking some of my coaching clients' experiences. I've designed a workbook to go with that. So it's a step-by-step process as to how to go through the book to actually do some of the work, which I've also recorded, and is available on Audible. So they can go onto the book site, ryanhodge.com, Amazon, Audible. It's kind of all over the map. And anytime that people want to you know, get a little bit more, I'm happy to contribute.
To ryanhodge.com, that's the hub. That's where you can get linked to all of this stuff. And I want to clarify, we got a lot of real estate agents listening to this, but also some entrepreneurs in different fields. And his coaching and his books are not real estate geared. You help professionals and entrepreneurs and all across the map. So ryanhodge.com. Thank you, Ryan. It was such a pleasure.
Oh, it's an honor.
And you dropped some good truth bombs on us.
Oh, good stuff. Well, you guys.
And I'm going to try leaving my phone in my bathroom tonight.
There you go.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to this episode with Ryan. We hope you got a lot out of it. And make sure you subscribe and leave a 5-star rating if you got a lot out of this episode.
Yeah, absolutely subscribe, because we're going to be releasing a new episode the first Wednesday of every month, starting next month, which is October. So we don't want you to miss out when it drops.
All right, see you guys next time.